Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Jim. Turn the lights on.
Bad boys ain't no good. Good boys ain't no fun.
Everyone, and good evening. Welcome on to the show. I am your host, Anna Black, and tonight we're going to be joined by two lovely young ladies, Ms. Stephanie Adams. I can't wait till she gets on so I can ask her to pronounce her name because I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. And she's the author of Life's Journey, Woman to Woman. We're also going to be joined by Ms. Mac Mama. She's the author of Tales of an Original Bad Girl, and her latest novel is called Daisy Jones. So we're going to spend the next hour getting to know these two young ladies and get to hear about them and their works. I do know that we do have Ms. Mac Mama available now, so without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring her on. Good evening, Ms. Mac Mama. If you can hear me, say hello.
Hey, hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm great. I was getting so nervous. I was like, oh, God, because I got your email. I've been running all day, and I got home late, and I'm like, oh, God, I got to put this show up. But I'm glad you called in, and I'm happy that you're here so we can get to know you tonight. How are you?
I'm good, honey. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm so persistent. Something said, wait a minute, let me just call right now and just see, because I called earlier, and it said that the show wasn't scheduled for 24 hours, and that's when I sent you the email. But something said, try back now, and I tried back, and thank you, I'm on, so everything is on schedule, so I'm good, I'm ready to get the show popping, let's go.
No, I sent your email like around 20 minutes ago, and I was like, I'm sorry, I like got in late, but the show is up now, and I'm like, please God, let her give my message. So I am so glad that you are on. I don't know about my other guest; she may have thought the same thing if she tried to call in earlier, but I haven't heard from her. So before the hour is over, hopefully she'll call in. If not, we'll go ahead and hang out with you. We usually do a first half and a second half. And I was going to let yours be the second half because you have two books, but we can go ahead and get started. So before we get into your literary works, give us a little background about Ms. Mac Mama. Tell us where you're from, where you grew up, are you married, got kids. Just give us some insight about Ms. Mac Mama.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I am divorced. I was married. I was married from a very young age. And it was an abusive marriage, and I talk about that in my autobiography, Tales of Original Bad Girl. But it's over. Thank God I'm out of that, and I'm single, and I'm loving being single. I have a 11-year-old daughter. Her name is Velvet, and she is the light of my life. And basically, that's it. You know, of course, the biggest thing about Mac Mama that people find really fascinating is the fact that I did so much prison time. Unfortunately, I spent 13 years of my life back and forth in prison. It wasn't a 13-year bit stretch. It was I've been going to jail since the age of 14, and you know, and finally got it together. And you know, after 13 years of back and forth in prison, and basically in a nutshell, you know, because there's always a reason why kids go bad. You know, my book is called Tales of Original Bad Girl, and basically my mom died when she was 36 years old from the AIDS virus when I was 16. And she was, before then, you know, she was a crack addict and she was a heroin addict, and I just really made the wrong choices in my life based on my mother's life, which was very sad, and I really wish, you know, of course, everybody have regrets and wish they can change things. I wish I could have been able to handle the things that I went through, all the pain, the bitterness, the anger that I went through that caused me to run to the streets. I wish I could have handled it differently, because my sister had the same crackhead dopey mom and a different dopey daddy, and she went on to become a social worker with a master's degree. So it's really all about the choices you make in your life, and I take full responsibility for the bad choices that I made in mine. But basically, besides that, the upside of everything is that I am an entertainer. Besides being an author, I have 6 CDs out. I rap and I sing, and I was actually pursuing music before my last prison stint in 05. I was sentenced to 5 years, and it was like kind of like that was the turning point in my life where I said that, you know, it's the doors for music. I blew it, you know, with this, you know, you got one foot in the entertainment and the other foot, I was still in the streets with the hustling lifestyle. So you have to, you know, either focus on one or the other. You cannot be, you know, a halfway entertainer and halfway crook. So I blew that, but by going to prison, I realized that I had talent to write, and that's when I wrote my first book, which my first book is actually Daisy Jones, but I put out my autobiography, Tales of an Original Bad Girl, myself, because I wanted people to connect with me and know who I am, where I came from, what motivated me to write and to do the things that I do, opposed to just popping up as another new author. And with that, I'm going to give it back to you, Mahanda, because I can go on and on and on, you know, with the talking. Okay, one more thing, too. I'm also a radio host on Blog Talk Radio, so, you know, I do other things, and I'm a motivational speaker. So that's basically who Mac Mama is.
Now, we're going to have a lot of time, so I'm not worried. You know, we can chat it up.
Okay.
I'm just curious, before we move over to your literary work, about you. actually been forward and honest and coming to tell people your personal lifestyle about going to prison and things like that. You know, some people, you know, are not quick to share personal information like that. So what made you say, okay, this story needs to be told and it's okay to tell my story, the good, the bad, and the ugly?
You know, you're right. A lot of people are not forthright. They like to, you know, kind of keep that part of their life, if they ever went through anything negative, behind them and, you know, choose to move forward. But I felt like I had to tell my story. A big part of me just wants to give back to the youth. I focus on the youth because when I was 16, well, actually when I was 14, 15, and 16, if I had somebody like a Mac Mama that could have mentored me, that I respected, and I saw that, you know, she went through what I was going through and she changed her life, that would have motivated me and inspired me to change and probably do a lot of things differently in my life. But I had no one like that. So I feel like I have to give back. I have to go to speak to the at-risk youth and let them know, listen, I did this, X, Y, Z. I know everything that you're going through, you know, as far as, you know, the being violent, to, you know, the anger, the depression that you might be going through for whatever's going on in your life and taking it out through your violent actions, catching cases, the money addiction. I can relate to all of that. I can identify to it. And if I could change my life, then it's hope, you know, for the youth, you know, and because I, like I said, I was original bad girl. I mean, I really did a lot of things in my life, and I don't like to talk about it. And the way I wrote it in my book, I tried my hardest, and I think I succeeded with the response I got from the book, not to glorify, you know, the criminal lifestyle, because it's easy to talk about the good, but it's really hard to talk, to be real and tell about all the negative parts of being a hustler. And I think that that's what I managed to pull off nicely, was not glorifying my lifestyle.
Right. So tell us, when you decided to sit down and write your first book, Tales of an Original Bad Girl, were you thinking about actually publishing when you sat down to write the book, or was it more so journaling, to relieve some, I guess, stress, esteem, or did you sit down motivated to write a book to publish?
Well, actually, that was my plan when I came home, was to self-publish my book, Daisy Jones. And I wasn't really thinking about putting out an autobiography at all. And a young lady named Danielle Smith, shout out to Danielle from Atlantic Records, we were speaking, and she just was like so wowed over my life story that she just was like, girl, later for trying to get a music deal, I want you to write a book. And what happened was I sat down and wrote the book. I wrote my life story in 30 days. And when I finished, I gave it to her, and she looked over it, and she told me that she felt like I should get a ghostwriter because she felt like it was a bunch of war stories. And she wanted a ghostwriter to interview the people that knew me, and she wanted to kind of do it like that. But I told her I disagreed, and I stood strong with my feelings, and because I stood strong and told her I disagreed, she said, all right, well, you know, she basically backed out of the deal because she was supposed to manage me, and this is a very influential woman in our music industry. She was supposed to manage me and get me an actual publishing deal with a major. But because I wanted to tell my story, the real, the bad, the ugly, and I wanted to do it the way I wanted to do it, I took out a, you know, I said, you know what, no problem, I'm going to do it on my own. And that's basically how I came about with the self-publishing. I formed my company, Star Status Publishing, and that's what I did. I put out the book, and I got out there, and I used my hustle instincts, you know, how I survived in the streets all those years. That's what I did with my books. I began to sell the books out the trunk and, you know, set up any way I could. I can, in New York, we can set up a book stand anywhere and sell books. Like, you don't need a vendor's license.
Oh,
in,
yeah, trust me. I didn't sell books in the Bronx.
So you already know.
Over at Divine in the D.C. area, D.C. Book Diva. I love working in the Bronx. Is like, we were walking corner to corner just selling books, and it's all
that's
right.
Just, so you already know. Exactly. It's just that easy. And last summer I was in Coney Island, honey, and I'm telling you, I must have sold 1,500 books that whole summer, like from June to, I want to say August. I sold out, and that was that's what really inspired me. I said, okay, I got something. I know what I can do with this as a self-published author. I love being a boss. I'm a boss chick. I love having creative control, and I don't like nobody, you know, basically to tell me how to do things, because if I fail, I want to say to myself, okay, I failed because of me, but if I fail because of you, now I'm going to be pissed off, because I'm going to say to myself, damn, I should have did it my way. So that's basically how I started with the self-publishing.
And that was a good choice, because if people don't realize, whether it's a street lit book, whether it's a romance novel, sci-fi, or any genre out there, Christian fiction, these are our babies. It's like when you're a writer, when you write these things are dear to you. And it's like, how dare you ask me to change my what I birthed? I don't want to change no words. I don't want to change this. I don't want to do it that way. This is how I want to tell my story. So it's like not an insult, but it kind of cuts you when somebody wants to take your book and dissect it and change it into something else when this was your vision for it. So I can totally understand why you decide to take control and go the self-publishing route. I totally agree with that.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking on Amazon, and I do see some great reviews so far. But I want to go in between the pages, actually, of Tales of Original Bad Girl first before we move over to Daisy Jones. Give us a little insight of the book. I know it's more so a self story, but is it written in a biography form where you think you're talking about yourself, or do you have a character plan out the role of your lifestyle?
Well, what I did with Tales of Original Bad Girl is totally about me. And what I did was, of course, I started from childhood and what led me up, because I wasn't just a bad child. You know, it took a series of events before I turned into a total, well, I like to say beast. I had just turned into a beast in the streets. And so I walked everybody through my childhood, you know, the beginnings. And then, you know, as the story progresses, you see from all the series of events, like, you know, of what I did. Like I started from selling drugs, and then I went on to boosting and becoming one of the more prominent boosters from Brooklyn. And back in those days, in the late 80s, early 90s, when you was from Brooklyn and, you know, you was a hustler in the streets, like that was a sort of like a prominence to that. Like, you know, everybody knew me, and I was, you know, this glamour, you know, chick from Brooklyn, from Fort Greene, and you know, of course, my name rung bell. So I walked you through that, but I told you the bad parts of it. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I rocked Gucci and Chanel, and everybody knew me, and I was driving this and driving that, and I lived this way. That's easy. I want to know what, like, when I read somebody's autobiography, I want to know the dirt, the bad. And that's what I did. I shared stories that a lot of people wouldn't have shared, quite honestly. You know, I told, you know, things that were very embarrassing that happened to me, from the wrong choices I made and being greedy with men and trying to manipulate, you know, men, and how things have backfired on me. I also shared a very serious thing that I hadn't told anybody before releasing the book, not even my closest friend. Friends knew about this. I shared a story about what I went through when I had my daughter and I suffered from postpartum depression. Postpartum depression is what I suffered from. And I share a story in there that is so deep, and it's so raw, and it's so real, and it's embarrassing to talk about, you know, what you went through, you know. And I told a story, I'm going to share it on the radio, you know, because I always say, well, read the book, but I'm going to give y'all this one. When I was pregnant, I had no idea, after I'd had my baby, that I was suffering from postpartum depression, but I had an overwhelming urge to throw my daughter down the incinerator of grandmother's building in Fort Greene. I mean, I had no idea what the hell was going on with me. I thought I was going crazy. I've never had any sort of psychotic thoughts. I've never been, you know, that evil person or had any sort of violence against kids or children. I always loved babies and children. So I didn't know what the hell was going on, and I didn't tell anybody. So what happened was one day, and I would fight the urge, you know, I mean, I also had a disconnect. I had a disconnect with my daughter. I just couldn't connect with her. I would do all the right things. I would go through the motions as a new mother, you know, in terms of feeding and caring for her. But it didn't seem like I had a maternal connection with her. And it was like I was stayed aloof for a reason. I always felt like she was going to die. So one day I was watching Oprah Winfrey, I'll never forget this, and I seen Brooke Shields was on. And Brooke Shields began to share how she felt when she went through postpartum depression with her first child, and then and she also had it again with her second child. And she shared how she was going to drive her car into a brick wall or some sort of wall on the highway because she wanted to just kill herself and kill her kids. And everybody gasped in the audience. And Oprah, you know, was tears in her eyes. And I started crying hysterically because I was like, oh, my God, that's what I'm going through. That's what I have. I have postpartum depression. And then Brooke Shields went on to explain how she was being treated for it. And she, you know, saw a doctor and they told her what she had, you know, and she had a grip on it then. Well, it's just from just seeing that episode and just me now knowing that it was a reason for me feeling like it, it seemed like it cured me overnight because I was able to say to myself, okay, I'm not insane. This is something that a lot of women go through, but they don't talk about it. So now I know what it is. And I didn't even go to the doctor to get medication or anything. I simply dealt with it now with a sane rationale, mind, what was going on with me. And I knew that that was it. And I fought it and I got myself together and I began to bond with my baby. I felt so much better. I stopped crying about it. And that's how I overcame, you know, I overcame postpartum depression. And I shared that in my story. And let me tell you something really quickly. And the book came out last year, right? About 4 or 5 months after the book came out, a person caught me from Fort Greene Project, a guy. And it was an incident. It happened. It was on the news where a young girl, she was about 13 or 14 years old, she had a baby, and she killed her baby. She threw the baby out the window. And she had just had the baby. You know, the guy called me and said, you know what, Mac? He was like, I thought that bitch was crazy. Excuse my language. But he said, I thought the bitch was crazy, but I read your book. And I think, yo, I think Shorty might have had postpartum depression. And I was like, a tear just ran down my eye because I said, wow. You know, for me writing the book and sharing my story, it made people have maybe a better understanding about people's actions and what people are going through. You know, if he hadn't read that book, he'd have persecuted that girl. He would have just, you know, thought, you know, she was devil himself. But we don't know what that baby was going through when she did it. Not that it was right, you know, but she was going through something mental.
And then, too, she's not an adult. She's 13. You know what I'm saying? It's, the problem was just overwhelming. And it was, postpartum depression is an illness. It is a sickness. It happens to a lot of women. It happens to a lot of women, and like you said, a lot of women are not, they won't tell the truth, they won't talk about it, and they should, because you shouldn't be alone going through something like that, or you shouldn't be trapped with feeling these emotions and feelings, especially towards your unborn, your baby. Your baby, innocent, don't have no clue, you know, what's going on. So, wow, that oof.
I gotta read this book.
Oh,
you gotta
read
it. You're gonna love my book, baby. It's deep.
I'm gonna send it to my Kindle. I am definitely gonna. And I tell people all the time, by me doing the show, I come across so many authors that I want to read their books. I will get to it. It might not be soon, but I will get to it because I'm almost downloading 4 or 5 books a week because I have so many authors on that have interesting titles and interesting plots. And I want to read that book, so I will definitely get to it, definitely.
And it's a quick read. Yeah, I wrote it the way I speak. I'm sorry, say that, baby.
You wrote it the way you speak. It's in Mac Mama's voice.
I'm sorry, say that one more time, because it's like the phone is going farther, your voice is fading from me.
I'm sorry, I was saying that you said that you wrote it the way you speak, so this is a Mac Mama's voice in this book.
Oh, it's definitely, it's all day. It's but it comes out, I come out, I speak in two, I write in two different narratives. I write, I tell you a story, I bring you into the insanity of the underworld, then I come out in a different narrative and diagnose the actions of my insanity. Oh, it's deep. You're going to love it. Trust me. I almost want to urge you to skip what you're reading now and just jump right in Tales of Richard Badgirl. I'm telling you, Ma, you're going to be finished it in 3-4 hours tops because it's one of those page turners where, you know, it's going to have you. It's going to have you in a grip. You're going to cry. You're going to laugh. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be amazed. And at the end, you're going to be rooting for your girl Mac Mama to succeed in this life. I'm telling you, Mommy, watch.
I can't say I'm a skip because I do book reviews too, so I can't say I'm a skip because I do have a lot on my plate, but it will be read. And when it's read by me, you will know because I post reviews. You will have a review for me. I love reviews.
I don't know why people, you know, you can scream out. I have, like, I think on Tales I have 13 reviews. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm mad people tell me they love the book, but you know what? I noticed that people are intimidated by writing reviews. Some readers just don't think that they can write a review eloquently. Like, you know, nobody wants to just go and say, the book was awesome, exclamation point, and that's it. They feel like they have to really, you know, write something, and they may not know how to really write a review, you know, correctly. But the reviews that I got, it hits it on the head. I think I got a review from USA. And USA hit the lady from USA read the book, and she loved it. And, you know, I love when reviewers, like people that actually, this is what they do for a living, read my book and give me the review. Because they break it down, and they really get me. They get the story. So, yeah, whenever you get to it, baby, I'm going to see it because I check my reviews all the time.
I do, too. And I always, even on my show, even with my books, I'm always, always encouraging people to leave reviews. I let them know that it's not just important to the author that you leave a review, but it lets other people know to try this book. It gives people say, okay, if enough people say this book is good, I might want to take a stab at it. So I always, always influence people to do reviews. I remember my first book, Now You Want to Come Back, came out. It's like pulling teeth to get somebody to do a review. But now it's like I'm a senior 2 years later since that book has been out. And today I have seen like 110 reviews. And now
nice.
I'm encouraging people to review more. I had a book just to come out last month, the sequel for Now You Want to Come Back. And within the first week, I was at 27 reviews. So you have to keep pushing people to leave reviews. And another key thing, since you are self-published, in my books now, before I even write the word the end, after the last word of my story, I say, if you enjoyed this book just as much as I enjoy writing it, please go and post a review. Then I say the end. So I'm letting people know then. I'm pushing them to leave a review. So if you want to add that to your manuscript,
I like that. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, also, let me mention this. There's a soundtrack with Tales of Original Bad Girl, too, that you won't get if you download it on the Kindle. When you buy my physical book, Tales of Original Bad Girl comes with 116 pictures, 52 of the pictures are in color, and you also get a soundtrack, which each chapter of the book is the song on the soundtrack. So you kind of know what inspired me when I wrote the song. So it's advantageous for real true book readers that, you know, not only to have it on the Kindle, but to go to starstatuspublishing.com and get that autographed copy. It comes with a soundtrack. And I got, right now, I'm doing an awesome deal for both of my, I'm sorry.
You singing?
Yeah, me rapping. I rap. Yes, I rap. And I sing the whole.
Your music also.
Yeah, this is my music. You can buy it on iTunes, too. If you just got the book on Kindle, then just buy my soundtrack from iTunes and download it to your computer. The soundtrack is self-titled. It's called Mac Mama, so not to be confused, so people don't got to search. It's Mac Mama, M-A-C-K-M-A-M-A, and put that in iTunes, and the soundtrack will pop up. And it's $9.99 on iTunes, and then you can really get the full Mac Mama experience with that book.
You are doing your thing.
Thank you.
Because I do want to cover your other book before we close out. I want to move over to your most recent release, Daisy Jones. What is going on with Daisy Jones? Tell us a little bit about this book, the new book.
Oh, this is my pride and joy. This is my baby. You know, it's my first fiction, and it certifies me as an authentic author. You know, I feel like anybody can write their life story, but can you create characters, plots, twists, jaw-dropping endings, suspense, eroticism, you know, and that's what I've done in Daisy Jones. It's a tale about a young girl. She's 15 years old, but she's a bad chick. She's from Atlanta, Georgia, and she's biracial. She's half black, half white, but she's dark-skinned with green eyes, and her mama raised her to be a gold digger. And it just goes into, you know, it's
wait,
a story.
Wait, back up.
Okay.
Purposely.
Mama Jones, baby. Mama Jones. Mama Jones. Mama Jones.
Come on, Miss Meg. Mama, look it down. Go here.
Mama Jones is bitter and disgruntled because she messed up her body by spitting out 6 kids, and she was used and abused by men. And she said, "Abba, damn, if it's going to happen to Daisy." And she instilled in her baby gold-digging values and the art of manipulation. And Daisy took it and ran with it. And the twist with Daisy is that she's a virgin. She does not give up her pride and joy, which she affection calls her gold mine. And she gets these dudes. Like, you know, she goes after ballers. But it gets, you know, it's a tale where you learn the lesson at the end because, there's so many twists and turns with it. But basically, it's a lot of different characters pop up throughout the book that are very interesting, and they're all strong female characters. It's a set of characters called the OBG, the Original Bad Girls, and basically it's kind of a spinoff from my book. These are definitely people that I grew up with. This was me in so many different stages of my life that I, incorporated into Daisy Jones, and the book is just off the hook. The ending is a jaw dropper. You will never, ever suspect what's going to happen at the end, but it is such a deep lesson about the art of manipulation, about being a gold digger, you know, chicks that's out here trying to get their Daisy Jones on, and, you know, things happen, and I don't even want to give too much away, but I'm telling y'all, if y'all love Tales of Original Bad Girl and Later for Tales, if you want, because a lot of people that are really not into nonfiction, you might not really be interested in Mac Mama's life, but baby Daisy Jones, that's a hot urban lit right there. And I just want to say this, I got a couple of sex scenes in there that I am especially proud of because I never wrote eroticism before, and I think that I did the damn thing. Okay. You got to remember, Daisy Jones while I was incarcerated, so I was living vicariously through this character, so I was coming up out my cell while I was writing it, and I was getting it in, and so I really felt when I was writing those erotic scenes. So if you're into, you know, eroticism, the book is totally not all about eroticism, but it got some hot scenes in there, so you will really enjoy. The book is a movie, and basically I'm working on a movie. We already did the screenplay. I got the screenplay written for Daisy Jones, so we're working on doing a film on that book, and it's a toss-up between my life story and Daisy. I want to do Daisy. The producers want to do my life, so we're going to see what happens, but I know that before we know it, Daisy Jones is definitely going to be on film because it's really a great, great book.
It sounds interesting. I mean, it sounds great, and I love your charisma and your enthusiasm. I mean, like, you, John, you can say a refrigerator Eskimo. You're so vibrant, and I'm like wow, you give me chills because you are just an interesting person to listen to, and it's like I say, like, you can sell a refrigerator Eskimo because you have this spirit, and it's so upbeat. See, if I met you on the street, I can't help but to like you. So I'm like, wow. So what's next for you besides the screenplays and things like that? Are you working on any new novels? And before you answer that, how did you get over to stage plays? How did you actually get, lined up with something of that nature?
I'm sorry, of what nature, baby? Say that part again.
I'm sorry, you're having trouble hearing me. Let me see if I can play. Is that better?
Yes. Now, I heard everything until you said,
okay.
What? How did I get involved in what, that last part?
The screen, the play. The play.
The screenplay.
You know,
screenplay.
How did you actually, yeah, the screenplay.
Because okay.
A lot, I'm just asking because a lot of listeners out there may be writers who maybe want to do a play or transition and do that for their book. So how did that start for you?
Okay, well, a screenplay is basically a script for a movie. You know, if you want to turn your book into a movie, then you can either do it yourself because there's a lot of books out there on how to write a screenplay. You can research how to write a screenplay. If you're a writer, it should come natural. For some writers, it doesn't come natural. It didn't come natural to me. What, how I got my screenplay written was, I wasn't even thinking about writing a screenplay. I sell a lot of my books to the prison system through my mail order company. And this gentleman wrote me, and he had bought both of my books, and he just loved my books. And one day, I got a I got a yellow manila envelope in the mail from my company, and it was this guy, and he said, just took an initiative upon himself to write the screenplay for me. When I tell you it's so much talent in prison, it's amazing. When I showed, certain people, some key people that were into screenplays, my screenplay that this guy wrote, they couldn't believe it. They were blown away, and it was just so well written that we said, you know what, we're going to go with it. Now, this guy wants nothing but to just be a part of something big when he comes home. He believes in me, he believes in my company, and he's definitely going to be on board as a writer. And he's a cartoonist. He just has so much talent. So that's how I got the screenplay wrote. But again, if you want to do, you know, get a screenplay wrote, it's as simple as just researching how to write screenplays, and it's a whole formula on how you do it, and then you can convert your book into a screenplay. Now, the projects that I'm currently working on are two books. One is a sequel to Daisy Jones, which is called Mistress, and it's a direct sequel to Daisy Jones. It's just not called Daisy Jones 2. It's Mistress because she's another character that's real strong that that we're going to bring out in the next book and continue the story. And then I'm working on a book that's really dear to my heart, and it's basically a watered-down version, I'd like to say, of Tales of Original Bad Girl. It's called Lessons from an Original Bad Girl, and it's geared to the at-risk youth, the children out in the world today that are gang-banging, that are going to jail. This is a book that's going to be used as a part of a curriculum for institutions, colleges, penitentiaries, youth detention centers. It's not going to have the gun on the cover. That's number one, because Tales of Original Bad Girl is me on the cover holding two guns. And I don't want to, sometimes you miss the message when you see the guns. But that is all part of the marketing that we did for that book, because it's called Tales of Original Bad Girl. So it's a bad girl on the cover with a gun, just as if you see a movie with an action figure and they're holding, you know, a weapon. But that doesn't fly well when you're trying to get your message to schools, you know, trying to convince the administration that this is a good, you know, a good positive book for the kids to read. So it's a revised version called Lessons from an Original Bad Girl. It's going to have a built-in curriculum, a workbook. So in each chapter of, you know, of whatever situation I share, it'll be a book, a work part where you can say, well, if you did this, if Mac Mama would have did this differently, how would you handle it? You know, that type of thing. So that's what I'm working on for that. And I'm also... I just auditioned, and this is an exclusive you're getting because I didn't tell anybody this. I didn't even share it on my own show. But I just auditioned for a miniseries that's coming out called County of Kings. It's going to be like The Wire, but it's based in Brooklyn. And I got the part of a girl named Kim. And dig it, right? Kim is not a far stretch. She's a hustler. She used to be a stripper. I never was a stripper. But the character Kim used to be a stripper, and she's a credit card booster, and she's a fly girl. So that was an easy, you know, bag. I got that. They loved me. So I'm really excited about that because I always wanted to get into film, and I thought I was going to have to wait until my own films that I produce with my books. So this is nice because it opens up a whole nother lane for me, and it also gives me a crazy exposure. HBO is going to pick it up. It's almost like a done deal. We're shooting a pilot next month, and I just had a meeting with the producers yesterday, and they want to actually bring me in on the executive side of the whole thing because they just love my energy and what I can bring to the table in terms of marketing the film and stuff, and they're interested in my book to do, you know, a movie for that. For like I said, they don't know if they want to do my life story or Daisy Jones. So a lot of big things is happening for your girl, Mac Mama, for 2012 and beyond.
Oh, oh my.
Let me just say one more thing. Thank you so much. And let me say one more thing. I was voted from the Literary Awards show. I was so proud of this, too, because I had my show on Blog Talk Radio for 18 months. And once I wrote the books, I started interviewing a lot of authors and bringing them on. So, sort of like the format that you do on your show, Anna. And I got Best Blog Talk Radio, and I'm starting to get bigger and better. You know, everybody that I book, I love them. They're amazing. But next week I got Omar Tyree coming on, and I think that's a good look because he hasn't been on, like, you know, any Blog Talk Radio that I know of. And when he comes on, we're going to get all up in his business. It's going to be crazy, the whole Mac Mama, you know, style that I bring to the table. So I'm very proud of my radio show, too. Because I admire you. I admire a few blog talk radio shows that's really doing it for real, especially in the literary community. And I think it's a complete honor that I'm on your show tonight. I've been watching AAMBC, and y'all been doing some big things in the literary community for a while. Y'all OGs to the game. So I definitely want to follow in your footsteps, darling.
Oh, same here. I'm like, I want to know how I can come on your show. You know, we need all the exposure that we can get. You know,
I'll definitely be emailing you about that. Yes.
I'm just like, I'm so, so excited for you, Ms. Mac Mom. I mean, you are doing it. It's like there's no bounds. And so I'm so proud of you, and I want to congratulate you on all the things that you're doing because you set out to accomplish something, and it didn't stop you. And people have to realize just because you have a bad past or you have an ugly past, it doesn't affect your future. You can change. When you come to that point where you're going to change, you can always do better. You don't have to stay in a rut or stay on a path of evil or bad things. You can always straighten up and fix yourself and move forward. And that's what you're doing. And not only are you entertaining adults, you're looking for ways to help out the community, like you say, with young teens who may be experiencing some of the negative things, you want to get them out of that. So what you're doing is awesome.
Thank you so much, honey. I appreciate the love. I appreciate everything, you know, that you're doing. Just having me on your show tonight, like I said, is huge for me. So I thank you so much.
And before we close out, Ms. Magma, I do have a caller on the line. I just want to open up that line to make sure they don't have a question for you before I let you go. I have area code 912. Are you calling in to ask a question or are you just listening in?
Just listening.
Okay.
Okay. I think this is one of our regulars. Thank you so much for always supporting us and calling in. Thanks so much.
Well, listen, Anne, the only thing I'm kind of, I wish you would have gave me the link for the show because I could have promoted it and I would have had people calling in to holler at me. But, you know, we're going to do this again, baby. We got to do it again because nobody knows I'm doing this interview right now.
And forgive me for that because it used to be me and Tamika both doing it. And it's like I used to have assistants. Now I'm just running the show by myself more so. And I honestly can tell you, I have a lot going on. My husband's in my
business. I can imagine.
I'm a single mom. I'm working. I'm doing my book thing, too, and doing the AAMBC thing. So I have a lot on my plate, so I'm sorry I didn't get it out prompt enough for you. But
all right. Well, that's all right. Because you know what I'll do is I'll still forward the links. Like, I'll go after the show is in the archives. I'm definitely archives it. So you're going to have a lot of listeners, you know, from the archives for the show, because I'm going to definitely send it out. I think this is a great interview. Let me just tell them where they can find my books, baby. Not only that,
more than just where they can find your books, also your email information, your contact information. Also, do you have any events coming up where people might be coming out to see you soon? Do you have any events lined up right now?
No, I do not right now because I'm just focusing on shooting this mini-series, so I'm going to be tied up for the months of March and April. So not right now, but you could definitely, so much, I'm about to break it all down where they can go see some video footage, they can see me do my speaking thing, you know, I got all of that stuff on the internet, so I can just send them places where they can just get their whole Mac Mama education real quick and then get ready for, you know, when I do come out there, make sure they come out and meet me in person, because I love anybody who loves me. I'm a fanatic for my fans.
All right. I heard that.
All right. So first of all, they can, you know, Twitter.
Start with a web.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them all my social networking sites. Everything is Mac Mama. Let's start off with MacMama. So y'all got the correct spelling of my name in case you miss anything and you just got to Google me and it'll all come up. Twitter, Mac Mama, at Mac Mama. Facebook, Mac Mama. Like my fan page on Facebook. My personal page is Natoka, Mac Mama, Mackie. But I got over 5,000 friends, and they're not going to let me have any more, so that probably won't work out for you. So just make sure you like the Mac Mama fan page, because I'm on there every day, and you can hit me up on there. Make sure if you want to know a little bit more about me, see some awesome pictures, hear some music, and be able to download 50 of my songs for free, go to Mac Mama World, MacMamaWorld.com. You can also go into the gallery section, and there's different video footage on there. A lot of people say they, you know, they may not understand how to do it. I'm going to give you a real quick tutorial. You just press down on the little arrow and go, and you'll see different. The arrow's going to move, and it's going to go different videos, different footage, and it's going to have the name of the different videos and footage. And whatever you want to watch, just press play. Now, you can also go to my YouTube channel, which is a little bit even simpler than that. Just it's MacMama1. So it's YouTube.com. MacMama, the number one. That's my YouTube channel, and check out the videos and different things on there. And the most important part, I'm doing a special for all my paperback lovers, 2 for $20, free shipping and handling. So you get both of my books, affectionately called the Mac Pack. You get the Mac Pack for $20. That includes getting the soundtrack. This is a hell of a deal because you're going to get the soundtrack with this, two books with the soundtrack for $20. And that's for a limited time only, so jump on that. And it's free shipping and handling. So go to Star Status Publishing, www.starstatustublishing.com. Star Status Publishing, that's my e-commerce site. That's where you can cop the soundtrack. If you just want the soundtrack, you can get the physical soundtrack off of there too, and you can get the 2 for $20, the Mac Pack. And if you already have my books and you just need the soundtrack, go to iTunes. iTunes.com/MacMama will take you directly to my iTunes page, MacMama, and download the soundtrack, which is self-titled Mac Mama. And if you want to hear me and my craziness every Sunday night at 11 p.m., join me on Mac Mama's World Radio. This Sunday, I have the legendary Omar Tyree. He will be in the building. And y'all can go to the archives and hear all the past shows you missed. And the call-in number for that is 424-243-9516. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/MacMama, MacMama. And that, my friends, is the way you can find me. Mac Mama.
Wow. I'm going to be in New York this month. I'm going to be in New York on the 19th. So I definitely got to keep in touch with you. I'm going to be in New York the 19th.
I will come and meet with you, girl, with me and have a ball.
Yes.
Are you going to do a book signing?
Because yes,
I definitely will come out and support.
Brooklyn.
Are you going to stop at Deja Vu?
You know what? I have to check with Tamika for our schedule, but I'm pretty sure. I have no idea what we have going on in New York. But and I'm also going to be back in New York again next month. My husband's from Brooklyn. So, we go to New York often. Yes. So he'll be home from Afghanistan this month, and we'll be going back to New York next month in April to see the fam. So I'll definitely be back then. So I got to definitely keep in touch with you, Miss Mac.
Absolutely.
Mama.
Just hit me up.
So much. I had a ball. And I'm glad. I'm not happy that the author didn't call in, but I'm kind of glad she didn't because it gave us more time to talk, and we was able to do an hour show with just me and you, and it worked out.
And it worked right on out, baby. That's all you need is Mac Mama, boo.
I
love it.
Well, congratulations to you. And you.
Thank you.
All the best.
All right, thank you so much, honey.
And
Yeah, email me, and I'm going to send you. I'll get you in, yes. All right, you too, darling.
I will.
Okay.
All righty. Wow, you guys. It was an amazing show. I mean, full of energy tonight with Miss Mac Mama. She gave out a ton of contact information. So I jotted everything down, but to go through each one would just be crazy. So definitely Google Mac Mama. And I'm pretty sure a lot of links to come up. She's on Twitter. She's on Facebook. She has a couple different websites. She's also on iTunes because she do more than just literary works. She's in the music industry as well. And she just landed a role on an upcoming sitcom for HBO. So hopefully we'll hear a little bit more from her a little later on this year, have her back on the show and see what she's doing. Awesome young lady, just full of energy, and I had a great time with her. We will be joined on March 6th with Arthur Stephen Morgan and Shannon Snook-Smith. So make sure you guys come back and hang out with us on March 6th as we get to know those authors and about their literary works. Also, I want to give a shout-out to, of course, Tamika Newhouse. She is the founder of AANBC. Without her, there would be no us, and we'll be running strong now for a little over 3 years. And last night, we actually did have a special show where we actually announced all the nominees for the AANBC Literary Award. So we'll be blasting that pretty soon where you guys can go in and vote on authors in different categories like Best Author of the Year, Best Female Author of the Year, Best Reviewers. So we had a ton of categories that we will be giving you an opportunity to vote on soon. So keep a lookout for that. I will announce it on the show. Also, if you are a listener and you know someone that writes that might want to come on the show, just have them to email me at annabanbc@gmail.com, and we'll try to work them in on a calendar, get them on the show. But if you're a listener and you like to get to know these authors and you read some amazing books from this show, from meeting new authors, definitely share the show with someone else. Let them know to not only listen in, but they can also call and ask questions at any time. You just always need to press 1 to speak to the host. I'm going to wrap it up now with a little Fantasia, and we will see you guys back here on Tuesday evening. Thank everyone for tuning in. You guys have a great night.
Love. Tomorrow you might hate me and find you somebody new.